Psalm 107, I believe, verse 20, the word says that God sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God sent forth his word. We are learning about releasing the word of God. That's how God operates. He releases his word. So when David penned that in Psalm, is it Psalm 107? That's a good scripture to have if you don't have it. 107, verse 20. That'll work. Psalm 107, verse 20, that he sent forth his word and healed them. That's what the centurion picked up on, and we were studying this on Thursday night. He said to Jesus there in Luke 7, verse 7, just say the word and my servant will be healed. There is power in the word of God. It's got to be released. A word doesn't become a word until it's released. Before it's released, it's a thought. So the very essence that God sent forth his word and healed them meant that the power and the authority is in the word of God. So God did that and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And so that centurion recognized in Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled and said, I've not seen that type of faith in all of Israel. So we want to understand the word of God and releasing that word of God. And that's what we're studying on Thursday. So if you want to learn in your life how to release the word of God of what he's put in your heart and how to declare that and how to push through, how to persevere when it doesn't look like in the natural it's going to manifest. When everything you look at screams at you that God is not going to do this, it's not going to work, you just plan games, then we have to learn the principles of faith to push through. It's called endurance. Faith produces endurance. Faith produces patience. Faith and patience go together. Because while you are waiting to see those things manifested, you're not just sitting with your arms folded and just having a ho-hum approach to it. Well, you're waiting for the manifestation of those things that you are believing God for. You are active in faith. You're active in declaring while you patiently activate and wait on the manifestation of those things. So we want to be a patient people because if we're not patient, we'll give up too early. We'll give up before we see the manifestation. And we then sabotage the faith we started with. See, now Peter started with faith. When he walked on the water, he started with faith. Faith was operational. He said to Jesus, just say the word. Jesus spoke the word. See, now he's got a word to work with. And that's the whole element of where we start with in faith. We've got to receive a word. It's either a word out of here, it's a word from the Holy Spirit confirmed by this, but you get something from the Holy Spirit. There's an excitement with it, there's a vision, you can see it, and you start in faith. You begin calling it forth. So then we have to persevere in that faith. That's where Peter went down. He started in faith, but because his eyes looked at the circumstances around him, and what he saw with these eyes was greater than what he saw with the eye of faith, his spiritual eye, the vision that God had put in him. And when Jesus spoke the word and said, come, and he got out of that boat and he started walking on the water. Isn't that amazing? You can walk on the water. If you got a word from the Lord, you can walk on the water. You believe that word and you step into it. You have to put action to it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So faith by itself doesn't do anything. We've got to take hold of that faith, begin to declare it, and put works with it. The works don't actually create the faith. The faith is there, but we put works with it so that that faith can get materialized and we can see it. And so when Peter enabled his five senses to be of greater value to him than the word of God spoken to his heart, he went down. It'll be the same to us. If you allow your senses by what you're looking in terms of finances, or your family condition, your health, the window of opportunity that just closed on you, and you allow all those things that you're looking at to determine the outcome of your faith, you'll go down. Because faith doesn't look at those things. Faith looks at what God said, bases it upon the Word of God, and says, I'm going to believe that, but I'm going to persevere. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cut this thing short. It takes how long to create a baby and birth it? 9 months. At 6 months, she said to me, I'm done with this. You know, I'm done. Mercy me. 6 months, we're birthing this baby. I can't wait any longer. And you birth the baby at 6 months, you know what you got on your hands? A lot of expense. A lot of life and death situation. And so we have to allow that faith to come full term, then birth it. That's what God has designed. And so we want to be a people of the Word. We want to be a people that live by the Word, take this in. We have to be regularly in the Word of God. Regularly in the Word of God, because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to get the Word of God by the Spirit in us and this Word of God in us. And as you meditate in the Word of God, faith begins to grow in you. Faith is developed in you. You start to hear from the Holy Spirit. You start to get vision. So there's multiple things of faith that we're learning about that as we put all those facets together, we can grow with it. If we just have one element of it, we're really not going to get the full measure of what God has for us. And so let's look at the Word. I want to go over to 1 John and chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 7. There are three that bear witness in heaven. And here's the three in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. This was the three in heaven. This is the three that are one. So when the Godhead said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, that us that God is, that's referred to in there in Genesis chapter 1, that us is the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. They are one, three but one. So that plural form, when we see that in Genesis chapter 1, and God declared that, these are the ones he's talking about. Genesis 1, and we'll start in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion, etc. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And so there was an us in the Godhead. Part of that was the Word. Now the Word, we know, became flesh and dwelt among us. And so that Word became Jesus of Nazareth. So it's a technicality, but Jesus of Nazareth really didn't exist before the baby in Mary's womb. He existed as the Word, but the Word became flesh, and when he became flesh and grew in Mary's womb, part of her seed, now he's a human, so that Word became humanity, now Jesus of Nazareth was born. So it took God determining that as the Word, I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to become obedient to the Father's plan, and I'm going to become human. Why? So humanity could go to the cross. So humanity, a person, to take upon himself the sin of the world. God could not take upon himself the sin of the world. He wasn't a human. God could not intervene. He could not send his angels. So God had to become flesh. And as a man, fully God yet fully man, now go to the cross and bear upon himself the sin of the world, so that now we could be restored back into relationship with God. So in John chapter 1, the Bible says that this Word, through whom the whole world was created, became flesh. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And this Word, the Word, was with God, and the Word was God. The second person of the triune God was the Word. He was with God, and yet he was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, through the Word. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So this Word of God, the second part of the Trinity, that person created all things. He was there at the beginning. He was with God. Nothing that has been created was created without him. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So you have the Word as a person, the second part of the Trinity. We have the Word as the Logos, the revealed, the written Word of God, and that Word became flesh. So we're learning about faith, and that's how God operates. All that was done by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now there's two aspects there. It was the Word of God who created it, and it was his Word that was released that created it. So you had the person, the Word, and you had the release of the Word. So by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, created, brought together by the Word of God. So the things that are seen were not made by the things that are visible. So God, the Word, had to reach into the invisible. This is where faith is operating. And out of the things that are not seen, he created the things that we do see. So what we see physically started spiritually. And out of the spiritual resources that we cannot see with our natural eyes, none of our five senses we can see the spiritual. Feel it, taste it, touch it. But out of that, because of faith, the physical was manifested. And that's how we operate. Everything that God has placed in your heart is there by the Spirit. The resources of heaven are there. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says that those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. So if you're joined to the Lord, how many people here are joined to the Lord? Okay, you are one spirit with him. That's where your resources are. So you have already been equipped with everything you could ever possibly need for your journey on this planet. It's all in the Spirit. Now, if you're relying upon your senses, you don't see it. And therefore, you think because you can't see it that you don't have it. You don't have the finances. You don't have the health. You don't have the provision because we cannot see it, smell it, taste it, touch it. But it's there in the Spirit. And out of that, all those spiritual resources, the Word spoke and the worlds were framed. Everything we see came out of the spirit realm by faith. Nothing's man-made. Look at this building. We are sitting and standing in God-created stuff. Everything. This concrete. We live in the concrete capital, is it, of Texas? Midlothian? I do. That concrete, that's ground out of the earth. Limestone. Potty sent up to Portland and worked on, but we get limestone and we get crushed shell, and we get whatever else goes into that, some iron ore, and we make concrete. Man-made concrete out of the things that God created. All this stuff, wood, sheetrock, this is made out of gypsum. Gypsum is mined, powder. Add talc with it and add some water with it and you got sheetrock. It's got cardboard on it. That came out of trees, recycled paper. All that God made, all that. Tile, brick, stone. That tile's made out of mud, clay. And other things sprinkled in there. Talc powder gives it that chalky substance. And we walk on it. The vehicles we drive. So God, when God created this world, he put everything into it that would sustain humanity as for as long as God wants us to be on this planet. Yeah. And we live in a world, we live in a woke world that's telling us this world is a fragile place and we are messing it up. We're putting too much carbon out there. You know, where are our students? Don't listen to that garbage. You only come up with that garbage when you don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, then we are it. And we better be mindful that we don't get to 10 billion people. Otherwise, our earth is going to be destroyed because we've used up all the resources of it. There's nothing left. So let's cut out half the population. Let's start again. Let's get those third world populations and wipe them down to nothing, and because we don't have any resources. Well, you'll come to that conclusion if you don't believe in God. But if you believe in God, you know that God created this for humanity, and God does not say, oh man, I ran out 200 years too short. I've run out of 200 years of supplies for humanity. What are we going to do? No, God, from the beginning, created all the things that we would need. Everything. It's all there. So we think, well, let's go and make some man-made stuff so that we don't drain the resources of this planet. So let's go and make plastic. You know what plastic is made from? Crude oil, coal, natural gas, and salt and pepper. Maybe. That's how we make plastic. What we make as man-made comes out of what God has put in the earth for us to live and survive and do well. It's all there. So we're not a fragile people living on a fragile planet, because if you don't have a fragile God, He calculated all this. He got it all. So don't believe that garbage, young people. Believe in God who put it all there for us. And so our faith is in who God is, the resources of God Himself. And that's your life as well. Your confidence in life is that God has already given you everything that you need. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that God has given us all things for what? Life and godliness. What else do you need but life and godliness? So 1 Peter says this. 2 Peter says this. Chapter 1, verse 3 of 2 Peter. His divine power, that's His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've got it all. It's not going to run out. God has already planned it. He sees the end from the beginning. So all of your provision has been made by God. Now, it's there. You have to see it manifested. So He's given us all things for life and godliness, that through the knowledge of Him, He's called you by glory and virtue, and which by which He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has provided that. It's all in Him. He spoke, the word produced, and the whole thing was framed by the word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews comes after Timothy, Titus, and Thessalonians. Hebrews chapter 1. Yes, and Philemon. In these last days, verse 2 of chapter 1, in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Who, this is the Word, Jesus, is the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. So all things were created by His word, and He holds all things together by the word of His power. So word is very, very important in the kingdom of God. The utterance of words, the believing in words, the sending forth of words, that's how God operated. He created it all that way, and He sustains it that way, by the word of His power. Not just by His power, it's the word of His power. Something is going forth and holding this together. And so we have to operate in the same way. So back to John chapter 1. This is the word of God himself that has become flesh and has dwelt among us. So verse 14, and the word of God became flesh and he dwelt among us and we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness to him. Let's go down to verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ. So we have the Word made manifest, the Word of God himself. And he came to reveal the Father to us. That Word now has been placed in us. You have received the Word of God into yourself. That's what causes you to be born again, is receiving the Word of God into you. You release faith upon what God has established by grace. And now that Word has become flesh in you. And so how do we operate? How do we live in the world? We live by the Word of God, this Word of God, and the Word that he's planted in you, and you start declaring. You start calling forth. Don't look with your natural eyes at the circumstances and evaluate from those things that you see your condition. Your condition is not that. Your condition is that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, it's in the heavenly places, and you've got to get it out of the heavenly places so that you can enjoy it here. That's where faith comes in. You take hold of what God has already provided, every spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, that's no good to me if it's sitting in the heavenly places. You know where you are? You are in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 that says, God has raised you up and seated you where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you are where those blessings are. So you are there to call them forth and get hold of them onto this planet so you can use them. And that's not using God as a slot machine. You don't pull on that lever and wait for all those three lemons to line up. We don't operate with God like that. It's a relationship. It's hearing the Holy Spirit, but it's also taking the tools that he's given to us and beginning to declare those things and use those things for God's will on this planet. Amen? We've got to step into that. We've got to step up into that and become a people that use that and not just look at your circumstance and say, well, that's just my lot in life. Amen? Amen. Praise hallelujah. Let's stand together, and I'm going to pray over us this morning, and I just want your heart to open before the Lord, and we're going to ask the Lord that that word that he's given to us today will take root in us so that we don't lose it by the time we finish eating lunch. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just raise our hands before you right now in the name of Jesus. We honor you, we praise you, we thank you that we've been called to walk in your ways, that we've been called to operate like our Father operates. It's Father and sons, and we are your sons and daughters, and we operate and we take the tools of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom that you've given to us. So Father, we receive the implanted word of truth today. We take it into our hearts. And Lord, we water that, we meditate upon it, we take these scriptures, and Lord, we're going to not lose it. Not lose that seed, but we're going to see that seed come forth and produce a harvest in us so that, Lord, we can see the manifestation of all those things that you provided for us in Jesus' name. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your goodness. We thank you for your presence that never leaves us, never abandons us, and we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.